I'm going to invite you to grab a Bible. We have a bunch of them. We keep them in our pews. Feel free. You can take one of those, use it. We're in 1 Samuel. We're continuing a preaching series on David this morning. 2 weeks ago, we heard how the prophet Samuel anointed David to be the brand new king, right? And when the royal inauguration came to a close, Samuel said, or the narrator gives this word. 1 Samuel 16:13 says, "From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." As I've been doing all this work on the David story, it occurs to me that the central character of the story isn't really David. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps showing up again and again and empowering Samuel and David and others in the story. Now, last week we heard the story of David and Goliath, and the king was supposed to be the champion of Israel, but King Saul, he lost his courage. He lost his guts. When? He lost it when he lost God's Holy Spirit working within him. When the Spirit disappeared from his life, he lost his courage. He goes and he hides. For 40 days, 40 nights, Goliath is saying, "Come on, come on, send out your champion. Come on, send out Saul." 40 days, 40 nights, he hides. The Holy Spirit fills David and sends him out to protect his people. He does not win because of his sword. He does not win because of his spear. He wins because the Holy Spirit moved powerfully in David. Now today, we're going to continue to deal with the fallout from the fear, the anger, the jealousy of Saul. Saul was plagued with a destructive spirit, and yet, even when he's plagued by this terrible spirit, God is gracious to King Saul. What does he do? He sends David to play music for him, to soothe his soul. When he has this evil spirit, God sends David to soothe him. This is music therapy. This is good. There's still room in the choir. We had a few chairs available if you want to participate in music therapy. This is a good thing. And it worked on Saul most of the time. We just heard Pastor Britta read the story about how Saul goes nuts and twice throws spears at David. And that's not all. Today, we're going to read the story of a third time when Saul tries to pin David to the wall. And today's scripture from 1 Samuel 19:1 through 10, David is saved by the Spirit and the power of God. This is our hope too. Hear the good news. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and warned him, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow and go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out." Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, "Let not the king do wrong to a servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David, like killing him for no reason?" Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath, "As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death." So Jonathan called David and told him the whole conversation. He brought him to Saul, and David was with Saul as before. Once more, war broke out, and David went out and fought the Philistines. He struck them with such force that they fled before him. but an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul as he was sitting in his house with a spear in his hand. While David was playing the lyre, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear, but David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. That night, David made good his escape. God's word. So last Wednesday, Bethany Covenant Church hosted a gathering of covenant pastors. We had preachers from Seattle. We had preachers from Vancouver. We all came together to read the Bible at Bethany Covenant Church. It was good. We do not all agree with one another. In fact, we have some very real differences of opinion, but we love one another and we love God's word, and we are not going to be divided by what disagrees between us. We love each other. We love God's word. And we studied the story of David. I did not choose this topic. Someone else did, and I was very pleased that this was the topic chosen. I just read all these books on David. I had all this insight from reading all these fancy biblical commentaries. And what's more, I had questions. All these, like, I don't get this part. Help me understand this part. I was reminded, because I was tempted to say too much. I was tempted of the words my grandmother taught me, that God gave me two ears and one mouth for a reason. Right? Why? So we might listen twice as much as we speak. I won't say that I succeeded, but I kept on thinking to myself, I need to listen. I need to listen. We got stuck on 1 Samuel 16:14, and it says this. Now a spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Really interesting thing happened once we read these words. A room full of pastors got real silent. One of my colleagues offered, it's a mystery. Fair enough. Hard to argue with that. It is a mystery. I offered this. And it had been a long time since I'd really zeroed in on this topic, but my sense was, from reading a lot of books over a long time, that God does not send evil spirits. God does not send morally wicked spirits. That most scholars would agree with that. And as we were talking, one of my sisters in Christ challenged me. And she said to me something to the effect of, so are we just supposed to ignore that verse? And I got quiet, and I got embarrassed, because I didn't have a good answer for her. That's okay. It's okay to open up the Bible and struggle to find the right answer. So I picked today's scripture passage many, many months ago, and it came as no surprise to me that the passage I picked hinged on this very thing, on verse 9 in today's scripture, is all about that evil spirit that troubled Saul again. I would rather preach on something else today. I got to tell you, I was going to talk about loving your enemies. I was going to talk about turning the other cheek. I was going to talk about that side of the story, you know? But this is where I'm stuck with today. This evil spirit from the Lord? There's a spiritual dimension to sermon preparation that's really hard to explain. Every week, God grabs my attention in some fresh way. And in this case, I really felt shook that I had to dig in deeply. So forgive me, but this is a tough question, and we're going to take some time, and I'm going to try to unpack it in a biblical way, in a scholarly way, in a theologically appropriate way. We're going to try to do it upright. again, I don't know if I'm going to explain it well enough, but I'm sure going to try to help you understand what God's word is saying to us today. I got the United Nations of Biblical Scholars today. I'm going to give you all sorts of scholars. The Japanese Bible scholar David Samura argues that evil spirit from the Lord is not an adequate translation of the Hebrew. But that's not right. An evil spirit of the Lord is not the right translation of the Hebrew. He says that the translation that makes the most sense is a spirit which brings forth disaster. A spirit which brings forth disaster. That makes a lot more sense to me. The German theologian Michael Welker, he prefers the term spirit of recklessness or spirit of error. This makes more sense to me. God is good. Amen? I'm going to say that again because if we can't agree on that, we have got a problem here. God is good. Amen? Okay, God is good. Now, does God send morally wicked spirits to mess up your life? No. But we still have to understand the scripture, right? Let's figure this out. Spirit of recklessness, a spirit of error, a spirit of disaster. Same word that's being translated as evil. That makes way more sense to me. Now, so we would assert that God does not send morally wicked spirits to haunt us. However, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit gets involved in our lives, it fills us up and it energizes us, it equips us. And when we turn away from that spirit, there is an emptiness. There is a void that gets left. And if it's not being filled by God, it will be filled by other spirits, by darker spirits, by destructive spirits, by vindictive spirits, by evil spirits. The American Bible scholar, Peter Kyle McCarter, agrees that the bad spirit arrived as though rushing into the vacuum Saul's loss of favor had created. The Dutch Bible scholar, I'm going to need some help here, Dutch people. The Dutch Bible scholar, Jacob Hoftiger, just nod. Yeah, thank you. I'll take the nod. Thank you. Help me, Dutch people. Jacob Hoftiger, he concurs that the spirit is not only a state of fright, but it's also a state of being incapacitated. The American Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, his argument in this is that there is a psychological dimension and a theological dimension to this dark spirit in the text. You can't just do the psychological explanation. You can't just do the theological explanation that there is a mingling of these two things in the text. That's an interesting argument too. What we can all agree on is that Saul's spiritual problem is rooted in his departure from God's Holy Spirit. Okay? That the problems that Saul is encountering are because he departed from God's Holy Spirit. Now, all this spiritual talk might be confusing to some of you because this is, after all, the age of science. There is no systematic way to measure the workings of the Spirit. And yet, even the most ardent skeptics, even the most militant atheists have listened to gospel music, who have heard Aretha Franklin sing Amazing Grace, and they feel a spiritual light. Or they go to the Sistine Chapel, or they hold a baby, and they feel a spiritual light. I've been watching this PBS special. This is not in my sermon, but I'm adding it because I want to talk about this. I've been watching this PBS special. Ken Burns, love Ken Burns. Ken Burns, country music, oh, this is good. And I was watching about Hank Williams, not Junior, not the third, the original Hank Williams the other day. I saw the light. This guy who put his life, through misery. I saw the light. Even the most ardent skeptics, even the most famous sinners, they can see that light. They know there's a spiritual reality to the light. And in the same way, Even the most ardent skeptics, even the most ardent atheists have to admit there is a spiritual darkness that they cannot explain. Who's been to the Holocaust Museum? There's one in D.C., there's one in Israel, Yad Vashem. Anyone? Now, I took a couple of you. Thank you. Okay. Boy, you want to talk about spiritual darkness? Go to Dachau sometime. You know this feeling, right? When you're opening up the newspaper and you're reading about another mass murder and you feel it in your guts and it's not just rational, it's not just reasonable. You're going, there's a spiritual darkness that you cannot understand. Even the most ardent skeptic feels that in their guts too, that there's something there. I love the benefit that we get from psychology and sociology. Those are fine disciplines. But I will say this, they cannot explain all that is good and all that is evil in this world. There are spiritual realities at work that we cannot fully understand. C.S. Lewis, if you've heard me preach more than 3 or 4 times, you know, I love C.S. Lewis. And I've quoted this before, but it bears repeating. I need to keep on hearing these words. C.S. Lewis wrote in the Screwtape Letters, great book, great book. Are you a Christian? You got a little bit of sarcasm in your life? Read the Screwtape Letters. He writes, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. By materialist, he means a scientific viewed person. By a magician, he means the one who sees the devil behind every bush. Look, there are spiritual realities, and you can pretend it doesn't exist, or you can give it excessive attention. The truth is, we have to be as clear, as truthful as we can, and as biblical, really, is the word I should be choosing here, as biblical as we can on this. These things are real, but we don't have to live in constant fear of them. A mighty fortress is our God, right? One little word will fell the devil. What is that word? It's Lord Sabaoth. It's Jesus. Jesus. I'll share this with you. The first time I preached today's sermon, I had one person rush to the hospital and I was disturbed. Then I had a second person rush to the hospital in my sermon. I've had one person before. I've never had two. I don't want to be too quick, but I don't want to be foolish either. There are spiritual forces at work. They are real. So we have to be honest about this. We have to be truthful about it. We have to be biblical about it. We don't live in fear. We live in the hopeful expectation that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough to save us. And we are sent the Holy Spirit to protect us in times of darkness. Believe me, I would much rather preach on turning the other cheek this morning. I got to tell you, as tough as that is, I would much rather preach on loving your enemies this morning. That's a lot easier than talking about this, threading this impossible needle. Now, we Christians, we believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen? That should be just as good as God is good. Christians believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Third member of the Holy Trinity. This is big. This is big. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that we are empowered by the very presence of God to make us more and more like God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. And there are also darker spirits that are vying for your attention. There is fear. Fear is a normal human emotion. But there is a spirit of fear that provokes us to forget that God is in control. wanting things is normal. But greed, there is a spirit of greed that is going to try to fool you into believing that you don't have enough. It's never enough. That's a spirit. It's a dark spirit. It is corrosive to your soul. Anger. We get angry sometimes. You're human. You're going to get angry sometimes. But there's something different about a spirit of anger that holds on to things and kills love for your neighbor, love for your family, love for your enemy. That spirit of anger is unhealthy. These are all spirits, and they all want your attention, and they will all own you if you allow them. They will be the dominant spirit in your life if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to be the dominant spirit in your life. They will grab you. They will own you. You have to reject these spirits. Now, they're spirits of disaster. They're spirits of recklessness. They're spirits of error. And it's what we trade the Holy Spirit for when we lose our faith. The Apostle John advised us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. What does that mean? How do we test the spirits? Again, where's the scientific quantification or qualification of the spirits here? Where is it? John, give us an answer. Do you know what the answer is? It's one of the most famous bits of scripture, but I hadn't really connected the two until I sort of noticed it. Skip ahead a couple of verses. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. What does that say to us? It says right there, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's it. That's your first test. That's your best test. You want to test what spirit's operating in your life. Are you loving God and are you loving your neighbor? That's the test. It's right there. It couldn't be any clearer. Are you being loving right now? Do people perceive you as the loving one in the room right now? It's the first test. It's the easiest way. Ask yourself, am I being loving right now? Why not? The Apostle Paul gives us a more elaborate way to test the spirits, because of course he does. He's the Apostle Paul. He's got to go. He's such an overachiever, this guy. It's not just love. He begins with love, but he's got to give us so much more, because again, Paul. If you've read much of Paul, you're like, yeah, that sounds like Paul. He begins with love in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, number one, joy, peace, forbearance, sometimes patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's a good way to test the spirits going on in your life. After you ask yourself, am I being loving right now? Ask yourself this, am I being joyful right now? Why not? Am I being peaceful right now? Why not? Am I being patient right now? It's because I'm in traffic. No, you ask, why not? Am I demonstrating self-control? Why not? What spirit are you listening to? Before I want to go any further, I want to remind you the most important part about testing the spirit, and this is taught to us by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 2, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Oh, it's so easy for me to see that speck in someone else's eye while I'm missing the 2x4 that's sticking out of my eye socket, right? Oh, it's so easy for me to go, well, that's not right. When There's something sticking out of my own eye that makes me blind to my own stuff. That's the example Jesus gives right after he talks about this do not judge stuff. Because he knows us. Friends, if you're really testing the spirits, it should make you more aware of your own sin. If it's not, then you're not testing the spirits. And it should make you more loving of other people. And if it's not, you're not testing the spirits. Can I be any clearer? I have to confess that I have not been myself this week. I'm usually a pretty happy guy, but I've been moping around the church building, and people keep on asking me, "Pastor, what's wrong?" That doesn't happen very often. Instead of operating out of a spirit of joy, I will confess, I have been operating out of a spirit of fear. Instead of feeling a spirit of peace, I have to admit, I have been feeling a spirit of anxiety. I have been clinging to this spirit of love that comes from God, but I admit, I have also been struggling against a self-destructive spirit of worry. One spirit's from God, one spirit is from somewhere else. Can you guess which is which? If you're being governed by anxiety and fear, that's not coming from God. That's coming from somewhere else. You got to name it, you got to rebuke it, and you got to put yourself again in the pattern of love. That's the only way this Christianity thing works, by the way, is if we don't fear one another, but we love one another, and we trust one another, and we reach across and talk to the other person. It's the only way that I know. Now, the Bible makes it real clear, right, that in today's story, one person was filled with the Holy Spirit and one was filled with a dark spirit. Makes it real clear. Saul did not love David when he sent him into battle. Saul was not joyful when David became best friends with his son Jonathan. Saul was not peaceful when David married Michal, his daughter. Saul was not kind when he offered or ordered his advisors to assassinate David. And Saul was not self-controlled, not once, not twice, but three times, decided to just chuck that spear at David's head while he's trying to play him a beautiful song on the lyre. The fruit is there. Take a look. You eat that fruit? Not me. I don't want any of that. That's disgusting. Look at David, though. Different story. It was love. It was love that got David to go down into the valley of the shadow of darkness and fight the giant. Love for his friends, love for his family, love for his God, love. David was joyful when he played his music and sang for his king, even when he was ducking spears. David was kind when he befriended Michal. David was faithful. Or when he befriended Jonathan. I'm thinking ahead too fast. David was faithful when he married Michal, at least at first. At first he was faithful. At this point in the story, yes, we're going to get there. Give us a couple weeks. Consider the patience and the forbearance of David, this young warrior who's just taken three spears above his head. Not to go and just solve his problem with violence right then and there. The Bible keeps confirming for us that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And that's the same Spirit that operates in us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you can duck every spear. Does mean you could be changed by the love of Jesus. I say to you that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God, but following the Spirit is very much a choice as well. You can't always choose happiness. Trust me, I've tried. It doesn't always work. You can choose joy, though. What is joy? Joy is confidence in God no matter what your circumstances is. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. You can be fighting cancer and still hug and love and support others. You can't always choose an easy life, but you can choose the spirit of peace that comes from God. Peace is the confidence that God is gonna win no matter what you do, so you don't need to worry so much, right? You can't always avoid worry, anxiety, or fear, but you can choose God's spirit of love. Loving others means that you lay down your life for your friends and your neighbors and your enemies and the person who's bugging you the most right now. That's love. You lay down your life for that person. Ah, that's right. That's a Jesus kind of love. That's who we're supposed to be, right? That's what the Holy Spirit provokes us to become when we cling to God's Spirit and not these spirits of destruction or evil. My friends, I would like to invite you this morning to reject the destructive spirits in your life, whether they are fear or greed or anger or you name it, and instead put your hope in the God of David, the God of Jesus, who will fill you with his spirit, which is the spirit of love.